Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll start reading at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, that's the apostle Paul, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly, that they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Amen. Lord, a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I don't intend to go through that passage today, other than, you know, the text that we've got up here, I will be referring to them. But I wanted to, in a simple way, have a short tribute to the Queen, the late Queen, and just speak a little bit about her faith. I thought that would be appropriate. So I guess at 96 years old, it was inevitable that Queen Elizabeth II would die. But even though that happened, the shock was very real to each and every one of us. And the sadness was great. Throughout the nation, we've seen this great outpouring of shock and sadness. For most of us, it's the only monarch that we've known. And she was well respected both at home and abroad. She was a constant. She was always there and was a constant in a world of instability and chaos. She brought stability to each of our lives. I mean, the governments come and go. I mean, even Boris Johnson was saying that he didn't realize that it was a relay race that he was in, and he was having to pass a baton. But the monarchy was there. The Queen was there. There was stability that she brought to the nation. So it's the end of an era. The Elizabethan age has come to an end. You know, she became queen in an age of deference. And Charles, as he takes over, faces different challenges. This is no longer an age of deference, where people would have looked up to her. And he has a number of challenges, and we need to pray for him as he takes over and tries to fill her shoes in some way. We will miss her. And we mourn for her, but we shouldn't forget that she was a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, but she was the matriarch of a nation. You know, those around the world have been saying words about her, and I particularly liked, although I don't particularly like the person very much, but I particularly liked President Macron of France. He said that to the world, she was the queen, but to UK citizens, she's our queen. And I thought that was very succinctly put, that she's our queen, but to the world, the rest of the world, she was the queen. President Biden, he said that she was a stateswoman of unmatched dignity and constancy. And that summarizes some of the things that I've been saying. And Prime Minister Mr. Narendra Modi, I don't know if I've pronounced that correct, of India, said that she was a stalwart of our times, personified dignity and decency in public life. And I think we would all agree with all of these statements as we recall the Queen and her life, that we would agree with those things, that people looked on and saw her for what she did. She did a very good job in some very difficult times. If we look at her, one of the things that was said that she, the only speeches that she really wrote herself were her Christmas broadcasts. And there we see glimpses of her personal life coming through. And I would like to speak about in 1952, age 26, on her first Christmas broadcast, which I believe was the first one that was actually televised or broadcast. She said in that, "Pray for me that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I have been making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life." This was a noble desire that she had that I think we would all agree has been fully discharged. Her service to her people is now over. But it's interesting that she acknowledged during that broadcast a greater service to a greater sovereign, to God himself. She recognized that even although she was the queen of this nation, that she had accountability to God. The queen spoke often about her faith. She spoke about it frequently and sincerely. Her faith wasn't nominal. Although she had roles in the Church of England and the Church of Scotland and various roles, the Queen's faith was personal to her. And that's why when she spoke in her Christmas broadcasts, often she spoke about her faith and her belief in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, they were written and presented by herself. In December 2000, she said, "For me, the teachings of Jesus Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life." There's a challenge when we look back over the life of the Queen. Here's someone who we would have thought was relatively above accountability. She was the Queen, right? She was our Queen, responsible for the whole country. We would have thought could have pleased herself. And yet she recognized that she, even she, had to give an account to God. You know, we are like that. Everyone here will one day give an account to God. We have to recognize what it says in Romans chapter 3 and 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, including the Queen. And she recognized this. She recognized that she was a sinner and recognized that she was accountable and recognized that she needed a savior. You know, Paul goes on in Romans to tell us that God commends his love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It would be terrible if the gospel message didn't have a savior, that it only told us about our sin and our accountability to God. But the gospel message is not just about that. The gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he came and died for us. You know, there was a penalty to pay for our sin. And the Queen recognized this. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. She recognized that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation, the only Savior, and trusted in him and relied in him. She often looked up to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and often referred to the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. She looked to Jesus Christ as the greatest example, and often referred to his service and sacrifice, his lowliness and his love, as she spoke about that particular parable. She did recognize him as the only savior of the world. She said, "God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive." This is the Lord Jesus Christ that she was speaking about, the one who was sent into the world to save, the one who came willingly and went and died on the cross at Calvary to save. Christ died for our sins, our verses behind us. And the Queen realized this. My question is, do each and every one of us realize this and take this to heart? You know, even if she was born into this royal family, what a privileged position. It wasn't enough. She needed a savior, like we all do. She needed to put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I know that the only way to live my life is to put my trust in God. I refer us again to the verse behind me, 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, which we read, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, and he rose again, according to the scripture. You know, the cross of Christ is a central thing of the Christian faith and belief, because not so much the actual cross itself, but the man on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died as a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. He died willingly as that perfect sacrifice. Something, the only thing that was acceptable to God his Father, to pay the price for sin that has come down to us through the centuries from Adam to every man. Every man in Adam has sinned. And the only way to deal with it is by putting our faith and trust in the one who paid the penalty for our sin. He died willingly, not for anything that he had done. You know, the details of his life are fully recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of our Bible in the New Testament. He was always doing good. He was always giving words of comfort. He was always healing the sick. And even, yes, he raised the dead. He calmed storms. He did mighty deeds. But he was always pleasing to God, his Father. And we see him hanging on that cross, forsaken, so that we could be forgiven. The only one who could be there and pay the price of our sin. King David recognized God and recognized that there was a supreme being that there was accountability to. And in Psalm 86 and verse 3, he said, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee." You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You have to recognize that you're a sinner. Recognize that only Christ can save, and put your faith and trust in him. You know, at times of death, we often think about heaven. And as we think about particularly Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, she died peacefully on the 8th of September this year at Balmoral Castle. As Britain's longest serving monarch, she has a place in history. As I said, a beloved mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. As that, she has a place in her heart. So as a monarch, she has a place in history. As a mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and a matriarch of her country, she has a place in her hearts. But praise God that as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, she has a place in heaven. And although it's important to have a place in history, and it's good to have a place in people's hearts, it's even more important to know that you have a place in heaven. Not because of her fame or fortune, not because of any of the great deeds that she did, that has done, that we've been seen recounted on the television over the last few days and will do throughout the rest of the week. Not for what she said, but because of our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, she is now with the King of Kings for all eternity. You know, death reminds us of a number of things. It reminds us that life is short. It reminds us that we are not here forever. And it reminds us that eternity is everlasting. And it's what we do during our life that prepares us for eternity. Do we recognize that we are born in sin? Do we recognize that we need a savior? I just trust that everyone here does. And like Her Majesty the Queen, has put their faith and trust in the only one who can save, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's vital to prepare for eternity in life. There'll be no second chance. John 3 and 16 would tell us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This only begotten Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing in him is the only thing that will secure you for eternity. The verse is very clear. Romans 10 and 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's no doubt, there's no question mark about it. If you repent from your sins and recognize your need of a Savior and realize that the only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "Call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved." Queen Elizabeth did this, I believe. She had a strong faith and let it be known. And it would have been difficult for her to live out a life of faith in the position she had under the public glare. But she did, and as I said earlier, during those Christmas broadcasts, which she writes herself, we see glimpses of that faith and the trust that she put in the only one who can save, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that everyone here has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and will one day meet the Queen in heaven. We will be reunited either through death or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us home. But as we recall a life and a legacy that she leaves us, the legacy is most important. The most important is our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that everyone here has made that decision to put their trust in him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee once again as we recall the life and quotes of the monarch as Queen Elizabeth. We thank thee for that long and diligent life of service. We pray for Charles as he takes over this mantle, this difficult role to fill. We pray that he will learn to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and turn to God when he needs help in difficult times. Our Father, we thank thee that we've been able to see the coffin as it passed the hall today, and we pray for each and every person that was out there and saw that, and just trust that as that has happened, that they'll be thinking about death and if there is life after death. We thank thee for thy word, the Bible, and the comfort that gives us about an eternity that if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can spend with him in eternity. All the trials of life will be past, and we will be safe on that eternal shore. Our Father, help us now with the rest of the day, and as we seek to remember the Queen Elizabeth, her life and her death, and we thank thee for her testimony and her faith in her life. We ask all of this in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, perhaps we will sing this last hymn, and after which I think we're preparing for lunch round about 1 o'clock, so there's time, there's no great hurry to go through. I don't know if we're able to do it, but there was a message Ian Jameson had, when we thought we could have the Duthie Park, I reached out to Ian, and I thought it'd be quite good, him having worked at Buckingham Palace, if he would come up and do that instead of me. And he was willing to do that. And then, of course, we discovered that the park was closed. So he has done a short address, which I'll see if I can get Sunil to put it up on the screen and people can watch that, because I'm sure it'll be a more appropriate address than the one that I've just given. But before then, we'll sing the words of 669. 669.